Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and I'm joined by Brooks Johnson of the Star Tribune's North Report team. Hello, Brooks.
Hi, Robin.
And our own Superior-based reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio, Danielle Kading. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Robin.
So we talked about the cabinet of the incoming administration a little while back, but there are still some matters of the election to deal with, at least in Wisconsin. Danny?
Yeah, the Trump campaign filed not one, but two lawsuits this week seeking to overturn the results of Wisconsin's election. And that came after the state certified its election results this week following a recount that showed former Vice President Joe Biden had won by about 20,000 votes. And on Tuesday, attorneys for Trump filed a lawsuit with the Wisconsin Supreme Court seeking to reject more than 220,000 ballots cast in Dane and Milwaukee counties, which are Democratic strongholds. And the next day, they filed a lawsuit in federal court in Milwaukee, and they're basically arguing that the influx of absentee ballots in the election has cast doubt on the results, and they want the court to rule that the state legislature should pick Wisconsin's presidential electors instead. And that makes at least six lawsuits that have been filed attempting to overturn the state's election results. And that all comes after Attorney General William Barr said this week that they found no evidence of widespread election fraud that would change the outcome of the election.
Well, Barr is not the only one saying that, but we'll see how it progresses. Brooks, on a smaller scale but big for our area, some personnel changes involving our high-profile CEOs.
Yes, there will be a new CEO of the Duluth Superior Area Community Foundation, which has an endowment of more than $80 million. St. Louis County District Judge Sean Flurkey will be stepping down after 16 years as a judge to take over that. He will replace Holly Sampson, who led the foundation for about 30 years and grew the fund's endowment by $75 million in that time. So it is a major force in the region for philanthropy, scholarship, and on. And Flurkey is a well-known figure himself who has really led initiatives such as the DWI court and new approaches to substance abuse.
Mm-hmm. And in the medical arena?
Yes. Well, now we have a CEO departure. At St. Luke's, the CEO, Kevin Knuckles, resigned after just over a year in the job. He gave no reason. The board would not talk to me or anyone else. And we are just left wondering why Kevin Knuckles unexpectedly resigned on Wednesday. He will be replaced by two fairly long-term officials, Chief Financial Officer Eric Lone and Chief Medical Officer Dr. Nick Van Dielen. Dr. Van Dielen has been a major force, I guess, giving press conferences over the past few months with COVID-19 updates, so his name will be familiar to many. Those two will lead on a co-president, co-CEO role until the middle of next year. St. Luke's, of course, is a major regional healthcare player, not as big as Essentia Health, but still Duluth's second largest employer, and it has about 2,300 employees there as of last year.
Right. And also in the business world, I understand there was a major decision on Line 3.
Yeah, the last permit needed to begin construction on Enbridge's Line 3 pipeline replacement across Minnesota was granted earlier this week. Construction began almost immediately on the $2.6 billion section of pipeline that will cross 340 miles of Minnesota from the northwest corner to just south of Duluth on its way to the terminal in Superior. Now, this has been 6 years in the making, and it has been hard fought at every turn by the company, pipeline supporters, and environmentalists and indigenous groups who say that there is a greater risk of oil spills in a new area now and that it will contribute to climate change. The fight continues, and opponents are using every legal recourse available to try to halt construction and get permits overturned, as well as if the State Court of Appeals will agree that permits should not have been issued.
And also continuing back on the Wisconsin side, Danny, what's the latest on the COVID front?
Yeah, well, in Wisconsin, we've seen new COVID-19 cases and tests continue to decline, but, you know, experts are warning that trend may not last. with the Thanksgiving holiday. It's unknown yet what the holiday may hold for new cases of the virus in the state. Unfortunately, this week we saw a record amount of deaths on Tuesday from the virus. And, you know, this week as well, Assembly Republicans unveiled a COVID-19 plan on Tuesday that would allow $100 million to go toward addressing the pandemic. It's the first bill that Wisconsin Republicans have introduced since they passed a bipartisan relief bill in April. And that plan would require state workers to go back to the office, force teachers back into classrooms, and cut state aid for schools that don't comply with that mandate. That plan also says nothing about mandating masks, which lawmakers have regularly fought with Democratic Governor Tony Evers about, and also restrictions on bars and restaurants. This plan comes about 2 weeks after the governor introduced his proposal to spend about five times as much on COVID-19 testing and other services. But it looks like we won't see anything happen this month because the state Senate says they're not taking any action on COVID-19 relief before January.
All right. We've been speaking with Danielle Kading, the Superior-based reporter for WPR News. Thank you, Danny.
Thanks, Robin.
And Brooks Johnson of the Star Tribune's North Report team. Thank you, Brooks.
Thanks so much, Robin.
You can read the stories by Brooks and the Star Tribune's entire Twin Ports Bureau at www.startribune.com/North Report, and be sure to subscribe to their local newsletter. And that's it for this edition of Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. Stay safe, everyone.